Good evening. Thank you for that prayer, Brad. I think I need that more than most, so it'll be helpful. All right. I've decided that I am getting old. Among the telltale signs that I've noticed so far are beginning to really enjoy bluegrass music, listening to NPR on the radio intentionally, and audiobooks. Lately, it's really been the audiobooks. I've been listening to classic American literature, the Giver series I always meant to listen to but couldn't find time for, C.S. Lewis books like Mere Christianity, which I think I could probably read 15 times and not really fully comprehend, and the one I wanted to discuss tonight, The Bronze Bow by Elizabeth George Speer. It's the 1962 Newbery Award-winning historical fiction novel about Daniel the Zealot. In the novel, he is alive during the same time as Jesus. He interacts with Jesus and Simon the Zealot, the apostle of Jesus, and travels around during Bible time Galilee and immerses you in that world. I'd like to read a couple excerpts for us to discuss tonight. The first excerpt is the first time Daniel attempts to speak to Jesus. He has a burning desire to find out if he is going to be if he is the coming Messiah, and if he's the one to restore the earthly kingdom of Israel. Listening to Jesus at the synagogue and looking for the coming kingdom is all he thinks about, but he has never met Jesus. Daniel and his friend Joel have traveled a day's journey to find Jesus at Simon's house, and they are about to meet him face to face. Keep in mind, this is an uninspired novel, but I still think we can learn from Daniel's example. I also have the text up on the projector for you guys to follow along. Daniel and Joel push their way into a small room, smoky, airless, overfull of dark bearded men. The smell of fresh bread, of fish, and of burning oil make Daniel's head swim. He introduces Joel and Simon to each other. By the look of you, you've walked all the way from the mountain, says Simon. But first, you must meet the master. One hand on each boy's elbow, he stares them across the room. Daniel stood face to face with the carpenter, the man's eyes looking straight into his, blocking out every other thought, filled with light and warmth. Those eyes welcoming him with friendship, yet searching too, disturbing, demanding. I'm glad you have come, Jesus said. Daniel could say nothing at all. For a moment, he was afraid. Only when the man turned away and his eyes no longer held his own could he breathe freely again. I've thought about this moment over and over in my head. If I met Jesus, what would I do? I've come to the conclusion I would lock up like Daniel did. It makes me think of John 4:29. Come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? What can you say to the one that knows everything about you, everything you've ever done, good and bad, God in the flesh? Thank you seems terribly inadequate. Later on in the novel, after seeing Jesus heal adult children and adults, feed the 5,000, raise Jairus' daughter, preach to the multitudes of people, Daniel still doesn't understand. He wants Jesus to build an earthly kingdom to overthrow Rome and is so focused on his own needs that he wants and needs and wants that he is blinded by what Jesus is teaching. Our second excerpt is from the novel, is the second time Jesus meets Jesus face to face. Daniel, Jesus said, I would have you follow me. Master, replies Daniel, a great burst of hope almost swept him to his knees. I will fight for you to the end. Jesus smiled at him gently. My loyal friend, he said, I would ask something much harder than that. Would you love for me to the end? Baffled, Daniel felt the hope slipping away. I don't understand, he said again. You tell people about the kingdom. Are we not to fight for it? The kingdom is only bought at a great price, Jesus said. There was one who came just yesterday and wanted to follow me. He was very rich and I asked him to give up his wealth. He went away. I will give you everything I have, Daniel replies. Something almost like a twinkle of humor lighted for an instant in the sadness of Jesus' eyes. Riches are not keeping you from the kingdom, he said. You must give up your hate. Daniel felt himself trembling. He was torn in two. Before the appeal in the man's eyes, he felt the whole fabric of his life about to give way, and the very ground beneath his feet like shifting sand. He summoned all his strength to battle for the one thing that was most precious to him. I made a vow before God, he defied Jesus. Is not a vow sacred? Jesus looked at him steadily with a look he knew he would never forget. Full of sadness and regret, and a deep loneliness beyond any reach. Yes, he said, it is sacred. What did you vow, Daniel? To fight, Daniel stopped, remembering the night in the passage, seeing Joel's face, trying to remember the exact words they had spoken. Malthus, Joel's sister's voice came back to him, to live and to die for God's victory. A smile suddenly transformed Jesus' face, the old smile, radiant, full of youth and strength. He put his hand on Daniel's shoulder. That is not a vow of hate, he said. Go in peace, my son. You are not far from the kingdom. One of the most amazing parts of the gospel is its ability to meet you where you are and work on you and move you to where you need to be. At this point in the story, Daniel is at his lowest. Daniel is filled with hate because his parents were killed by Romans, causing his entire life to be focused on revenge and overthrowing Rome and the coming restoration of an earthly kingdom. He believes that this will raise the Jews to their prior level of prominence and freedom in their own country and place a Jew on the throne. He was hoping that Jesus would be that Messiah that would restore the earthly kingdom of Israel and rule on that throne. At the exact moment Daniel thinks all hope of the kingdom is lost, Jesus tells him he is closer than ever before. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 17, and learn from this example that Jesus made in the excerpt. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running, kneeling to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto them, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith to his disciples, How heartily shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered and said, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. We can be just like Daniel. We can think that we are on the right path, but after coming face to face with Jesus, realize we have been far away from the kingdom and need to make a change. Maybe you don't think you're ready to be a Christian and you're allowing sin in your life to keep you from your salvation. Maybe you have sin in your life that you've decided you just can't overcome and you're allowed to sear your conscience. Maybe you've allowed the cares of this world to drag you down and distract you from your Christian walk. It's easy to do, and it can seem impossible to overcome. Let's read Mark 10:27 once more. With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Tonight, if you haven't already, you can overcome those sins and be added to the Lord's church. If you've thought in the past you weren't ready to be a Christian, you can make that decision right now. The kingdom is at hand. You need to hear Acts 8:2-37. Believe Hebrews 11:6. Repent Luke 13:3. And confess the name of Jesus and be baptized, Acts 8:37-38. Or if you have allowed sin in this world to separate you from Jesus and you are unprepared for Jesus' return, or you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Now dismiss your class.